everybody, and welcome back to the I Don't Know Running podcast, where we share our experiences that make running fun and sometimes not so fun. I'm Lewis, and I am still a self-admitted lazy ultra.
And a follow-on sentence, something like that, right?
What'd I miss?
No, I'm kidding. No, I'm here. I'm Mitch, and I'm drinking like fabulous coffee today.
Coffee?
Not really.
Okay.
It's honey. It looks like honey.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
And this is Terrence Rubin with PT Sports Pro, and we are excited to be in the studio once again to bring you the next episode of You Don't Know What You Don't Know.
Yeah.
And my name is Dave DiPrato. I'm a physical therapist with PT Sports Pro as well.
Yeah, welcome, you guys. This is awesome.
This is great. This is episode 3 of the You Don't Know What You Don't Know. And today we got some exciting stuff to talk about. So first and foremost, we want to talk about some event coverage. We had alluded to this at the last conversation.
Yeah.
So we're going to dive right into some of our experiences. Why do we do what we do on race day? What drives us to provide the kind of service that we do? And we'll round up with some of the questions that you two fellas will have, I'm sure.
I'm sure we'll come up with a few.
Or just comments.
We will razz a little, I'm sure.
Yeah. So we'll start off with like who or what drives medical coverage at a race? Is it something that is a necessity? Is it something that's a luxury?
Yeah,
and
good question.
So what do you guys think? Medical coverage, necessity or luxury?
My instinct is it's a necessity.
Yeah. I would agree.
Like we are talking about a race. I would not do it without some kind of medical coverage.
Right. And it's interesting to see that, to hear that, because some people think that medical is just a luxury. It's something that's there that we don't really need to know much about, but it's there. It's one of those additional things. And, you know, Dave and I have worked in this industry for many decades. And for us, this is an absolute necessity. And so, Dave, maybe give us a little bit of insight as to what are race directors looking for, you know, when it comes to medical coverage at a race and why.
Yeah, well, for example, communication is really huge. We're communicating with the race directors well in advance of the race, getting things set up, letting them know what we have available. That's huge. And what we can offer to the athletes. And then we're going to be prompt to the race, getting there and communicate with other needed personnel as well, like EMS, if they have those there.
Yeah, and I think even taking it a step back from that, mm-hmm. we know that as the number of races grow in our community, there's more and more people that are coming to events maybe a little less prepared, even a little underprepared, or maybe not even prepared. You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea. That makes zero sense.
I think the more I ran, the more I went to a race less prepared.
Well, it's one of those things where like we just take a little few more chances.
Yeah.
And all the more reason, again, to have good medical coverage that can save you and, I mean, literally can save your life at some of these events, mm-hmm. depending on how poorly trained you are. But more importantly, what would you expect from an athlete, an elite athlete that would be racing? You know, you'd want to have really excellent care, excellent coverage. And so that's our strive, right?
That's a good point.
To treat you like a pro. And how do we do that? We provide excellent care from the communication all the way down to the execution. So we'll talk a little bit more details.
And what I hear is all levels. Like to me, it could be just at the, you know, like I need a Band-Aid. Right. Something, you know, as simple as that, all the way up to like, hey, it's life threatening. And we've all heard the horror stories, like where people, you know.
Right. And so as a race director, you don't want to be on the other end of not having medical and then something going wrong.
Yeah.
Because then what's your response, right?
Problem? And I'm just thinking two things. Number one, when you ask the initial question, is it a necessity or a luxury? My instant thought is a necessity. So from any race I enter, I'm thinking that they will have some sort of medical support. Whether that's true or not, I don't remember every race to know that. Mm. What I want to ask is, what is the liability of a race? Or can you, from your RD experience, what is required of a race? Do they require medical coverage? And if not, maybe just speak into that a little bit.
Yeah. So a lot of the races are sanctioned by different governing bodies. Insurances are provided to protect the athletes based on certain criteria that have to be met. So, for example, your courses have to be safe. You know, you have to have a certain level of certification. Your race directors need to have some level of experience. They need to be traffic control. They need to be course marshals and volunteers. So all of those things factor in. So when you look at medical coverage, as medical volunteers at events, our overall goal is do no harm, right? And our better goal is do some good. So how do we provide care to the athletes so they can continue doing what they love doing?
So when Mitch and I, we want to do the I Don't Know Running podcast race, we don't know what it is yet, and it's ticking. It's going to be here. We are not going to be prepared. We set this race up. Are we required to have medical?
Depends on how you are insuring your race and how you're certifying your race.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
But the way I look at it is whether you, again, I have this biased view, and I'm
absolutely
Dave can agree or disagree with this as well. But the way I see it is based on our experience out there over the last 25, 30 years, it's a necessity.
Yep.
Having medical there, our best days are the days that we do nothing.
Hmm.
But the best days for the race directors are the days when things go south. And
yeah,
we're there to take care of it, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is it's not required necessarily, depending on the insurance and that side of thing. However, and I would agree, I think it is a necessity. Like for me, again, I wouldn't put one on if I didn't have it and know somebody that could really help with that a lot.
Right.
and then on the other hand, so what I was thinking was, man, if I'm an elite, this is my job. I ain't doing no race without medical coverage. There ain't no way.
Right. You need, what is your exit strategy? If something goes wrong, you can't be out there on the course without any help, without any assistance.
Yeah.
Right? And gone are the days where our paramedic system was so robust and they had, you know, adequate vehicles and staffing, and they weren't getting as many calls that they could be available to be out there on race courses and do more coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So what we shifted in the last few years is shifted from doing more paramedic sort of coverage to actually having medical teams out there. And what we've found is by having those medical teams, we can actually provide a higher level of service as well in a different way than the paramedic would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, there are definitely varying levels of, if you think about races among the whole country, there are varying levels of medical coverage at any given race. You know,
true.
You have some races, big or small, that just will have paramedics, you know, at finish line, bottom line, nothing more.
And I don't mean to cut you off. It made me instantly think. So is that because they're more from a, if something really goes way south, they're going to help?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. So the reaction time, the response time to get you to an ER or an urgent care facility, transportation, all of those things, that's where a paramedic is going to be helpful.
It's not for the, my hamstrings are hurting a little bit, like then medical tech.
Yeah, they're not going to be stretching you out.
Right,
you know,
no.
Doing anything that doesn't require a much more urgent response.
Right. Okay, and
general.
So there's that. A view of a race, and then you are going to continue.
Yeah, so that going with that, yeah, that's kind of the necessity sort of point.
Gotcha.
In coverage.
Yep.
And then for example, for what we would provide, being on course, we are going to have all of those extra sort of almost like detailed supplements and biofreeze and big bandages, small bandages for any number of cuts or scrapes or, you know, you fall and something happens, but you want to continue. And our accessibility then on the course as much as possible is going to make it so much nicer to get the care to that individual.
Yeah.
So that then they can just continue competing.
Right. So then I included Vaseline because that's been my downfall.
But now you have some proper exoskin gear that you're running really helps.
I do, but man, I just had that, you know, one time.
Yeah, that was enough.
We'll be talking a little bit more about Vaseline and is it the right thing?
Right. I would agree because most races just do Vaseline because it's cheap, but that's probably not the right thing. So,
well, and that's the thing, right? So we established that in a race, required or not, it makes sense to have medical coverage.
Yep, 100%. Right?
We've also established that medical coverage could be as simple as just having a paramedic at the finish line to having a full-on medical team. We are very intentional in how we provide medical coverage as races, and we're going to dive into that a little bit as well, not just what we have, but where we are.
Right, because I have questions about that.
I'm sure you do.
Mm-hmm. And comments.
I'm sure you do as well. Bonus. And so in order for us to provide excellent medical care, because for me, mediocrity is not my thing. If we're going to do this, if we're going to be there, if I'm going to spend the time on my day, I don't want to just stand around looking pretty. I can work hard and look pretty.
So, you got to look pretty.
Are you sure?
Whether you're working or standing around, you're still going to look pretty.
Confused.
With or without a Speedo.
You keep drinking your coffee over there.
It'll help. It'll make you look better.
That's why I said that. Yeah. So, no, I think what happened is like when I first got involved in medical coverage again 25 plus years ago, I remember going to some events back then and evaluating what was being provided. And quite frankly, there were medical teams that were doing the official race coverage that were literally marketing teams. They were there in their gear representing their organization with pamphlets about how you could access their system, but they didn't even have medical equipment. Gotcha. And then when I did see some of the earlier races, you know, people stood by with a first aid kit and a stethoscope, which is great if you have all the right things in your kit. And what we found over the years is that the more, you know, you're out there, the more you realize that athletes need more than just Band-Aids or Vaseline. So we'll dive into a little bit more of what it is, again, that we do. And then the accessibility, right? Where are they on the course? How do we get to an athlete if they need that emergency gear? How do they get them to us? So we actually have a strategic plan of how we go about doing it. As a matter of fact, we just launched our website for PT Sports Pro last week, Thursday.
Nice.
And if you dive in on the website, there is a section in there that talks about event coverage.
Which is what? PTSportsPro.com?
PTSportsPro.com.
Okay.
So if you go to the website and you look at that, we'll give you a much better idea of who we are, what we're doing in the community, and why we do it. And from Dave and I, from our perspective, being athletes in our own right and having competed for many years, we also have been on the other end of what was missing in races. So before we dive into a bit of the equipment and how we set up medical, I thought maybe it'll be a good time to ask about some of your experiences. Like, have you ever been in a race where you've accessed medical or wished you had medical and they weren't there? And what was that like?
Yeah, I have a for instance, I did not access medical, did not use it. I certainly should have, but my pride, I would guess is, well, might not have been pride. It might have been determination bordering on pride to finish. Oh, I'll wait it. Now,
desire,
I'll tell you why.
Desire to finish.
And I've brought this up before. I didn't want to visit medical and get pulled from the race. And this would have been Boston my first year where it was 80-ish degrees at the start. Thought I could still, well, I was a new marathoner at the time and younger and thought I could still do my goal that I wanted to do. And yeah, halfway through, it was absolute disaster. And I ended up slogging along for the second half of the race. Now I went by two, I distinctly remember two potential medical helps. One was an individual, part of an aid state or part of a medical tent. And the second was a medical tent. This was my experience. I didn't want to get pulled from the race. I knew I was in rough shape, but I was still moving and I was taking in fluids. But I was severely dehydrated. I had sweated out and I needed something. So that was my experience. That's one experience that comes up to me where I go, this is why I did what I did. And maybe you could speak to that.
Yeah, and I think that's why I wanted to hear your experiences, because then you'd realize that the things that we've put in place really helps to calm those fears and concerns.
Yeah.
And so we were just talking on our way over here. Dave and I were talking about this, one of the events that we covered where we had an issue. Someone had an issue on the bike course. So he stopped at the medical tent and because he was having some arm pain and because, you know, you're riding, it was a triathlon. So he did his swim and he's on his bike and he just maybe strained something and He's like, I'll stop at the station, see if maybe they can put some biofreeze to stretch me, right? While he stops there, we always ask a few questions, find out the guy had had a stent about 3 to 6 months before the race. And our evaluation of him was that he was having a cardiac issue.
Oh, my goodness.
So we did pull him from the race.
Yeah.
We did transport him to the hospital. He ended up having a stent done, a new, an additional stent put in. So we saved his life by being there when we did. Wow. And making the call to transport him when we did. But our rule of thumb is to not transport everybody. We are very judicious about how we do that. And we have protocols in place that helps us to determine both from our experience and from, you know, just being involved in the type of race and the distance as to when do we make that call. So you can be rest assured that if you are doing a race where we're covering it, you're not going to be pulled unless you absolutely have to be pulled.
For a medical reason.
Or it needs to be legit medical reason. Yep. And that is why one of the things that we try to do at all of our races is we don't just have like a physical therapist or an athletic trainer at an aid station. We'll use our physicians and our registered nurses and other clinical staff that can all weigh in on the decision to continue or to stop.
And I'll speak especially to at least USA Triathlon that in USA Triathlon rules, when you're in a race, if you go seek medical help and you do just need cut, scrape, this or that, a little help with even a supplement or two, you will not be disqualified or pulled from the race in any regard for that because you are getting medical assistance or you're getting assistance
it's official
available to
assistance.
Everyone.
Right, right.
Because that's a real, because here's the deal, like, it may be easy for people to listen to this and go, well, you ignorant, prideful person. It's not that. It's that you've put in 6 months of hard, especially when you think of like the triathlon side of things. I know for me at Louisville, had I needed aid and had that in the back of my mind, there's no way. I have put in way too much work. And let's say I did not have a good Ironman at Louisville and in the marathon.
Did you finish?
I finished. And
did you die?
And I did not. I am here to speak about it.
You met two criteria already.
But that's a perfect example. I actually, I did put in obviously a ton of work to complete that race. I got into the marathon. I got about... my bike, I lost all but two gears. So the bike just trashed me. I got onto the run. I got about a mile down the road, maybe two. I think it might've been 2 miles into the marathon. I had to literally stop because my legs were just, they were just cramping. They were completely locking up. So I stopped and did this kind of like cherry picker, like spread and just was stretching stuff. And I was there for so long, a cop that was part of the race was down the road and he saw me and I was there for so long. He walked down and said, do you need me to get you medical? And I said, no, I'll get through it. I just need to stretch this out. But realistically, I needed hydration. I needed something in me and it probably would have helped. Right. But yeah, that's part. And that's why I say it's easy for people to hear this and go, oh, you ignorant, you know, prideful person. No, it's, there's a lot that goes into just completing an event.
And to the point, I remember my first Ironman that I did, another friend of mine that was training with me. I mean, you were like looking at 9 months to a year of training. And this guy was a formidable athlete. He was definitely going to be faster than me. And so I get to the finish line. I'm like, hey, did he finish? I'm like, no, he ended up getting taken to medical. I'm like, well, what happened? Well, he got a bee sting on the bike course. Didn't realize he was allergic to bee stings. He actually stops at a medical station. The medical station did not have any Benadryl to manage his bee sting. But someone, one of the spectators did. So they gave him the Benadryl, which actually helped him. But he was disqualified because
it was outside aid.
And so what we've learned from that as medical is we make sure that all of our medical kits have Benadryl in them.
Wow.
So if someone's having an issue, not only do we have Benadryl, but we actually have EpiPens in every single kit.
Nice.
I had someone ask me the other day, he's like, well, hey, do you guys have AEDs in your kits? I'm like, yeah. But like, do you have AEDs like, oh, just at the finish line? No, every single kit of ours is designed to be exactly the same. Not just what's in it, but where it's even placed. Like we have a 3-tier bin and each bin has a checklist of what's in the lower bin, what's in the middle bin, what's in the top bin. So we get down to that level of organization. Why? Because when we have people that don't cover events from the clinical side often enough, they should at least be familiar with the kit.
So that's my question. Like, I think about a looped course of a marathon, and you have an aid station every 2 miles. You have to have a kit. I mean, 13 kits then, basically.
If it's not a looped course.
If it's not a looped course.
Or, yeah, you know what I mean? Like a full, like there's
a big loop, like 26 mile loop.
A 26 mile loop, whether it's not an out and back or it's not, right, like you have to have.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And so, for example, at Grand Rapids, we
have the people.
We have like 11. Yeah. We'll have 11 aid stations at Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. We'll have at least 3 people per station. So you're looking at 33 staff right there. And then at Maine Medical, because they're the busiest, we actually will have at least twice as many staff.
Usually triple.
So you're looking at about 40 people just for that.
So where do you get all those people? You have to get volunteers at that point.
Exactly. So that is, again, where on the one hand, we understand what a race director wants. And so when we meet, when we agree to provide coverage, we don't just say, yeah, we'll be there. We'll look at, okay, let's just talk about your race. What distance is it? Mm. What time of the year is it? What kind of potential injuries should we expect? Because we will gear our kits, tweak it just a little bit based on the races that we're doing. For example, we cover quite a few gravel races. When we do gravel races, we have a lot more saline, a lot more gauze, a lot more dressing. Because when these guys wipe out, they don't just get a little scrape. It's like the entire arm or leg or sometimes both of them.
I didn't even think about that. Bike races versus, you'll have like where one guy falls and everybody else is chewed up too. Yeah. So
and we've fixed them. As a matter of fact, we have these little syringes that you can pull out, saline, and, irrigate the wounds and stuff. For the bike races, I just take bottled water because they're covered in gravel and stone. And I just need to get that stuff washed off before we can even start with the saline and everything else. Gosh. Hopefully everyone's hearing from this is that you can't just have a medical team. You have to have a medical team that knows what they're doing and that are prepared to handle just about any emergency. So another example that I had was I was running a local race. I think it was the marathon, and I had organized the medical for it, and I was confident enough that our team knew exactly what was going to need to be done. And we recruit volunteers as well. So I don't know everyone on the team, and not everyone on the team knows me. So I stopped at a medical station because I had forgotten to take my inhaler, my rescue inhaler, and then having a little bit of breathing issue. So I stopped there and said, hey, can you guys just grab me an inhaler? I just need to get a couple of puffs in. And the volunteer that was there is like, no, we don't have that. And I said, I packed these medical kits. I know you have them. It's in there.
Let me show you.
Let me show you where it is. And so what I realized from that experience was we used to have these 22-gallon tubs where all the medical stuff was just in one tub. And we would try to encourage people to, when you get to your aid station, take stuff out, understand what's in there. But it wasn't being done as well. So we switched to a 3-tier, actually one of those Husky toolkits.
Okay.
And with that, we're able to, where you put all your screws in on the little skinny box with a clear shelf, that's where we had a little slot we had for Advil and for Tylenol. Benadryl. And all the way down to like glucose and Tums and all the other little things that you would need. So let's talk a little bit more about, we'll talk a little bit more about the kits, but let's talk a little bit more about how do we provide the medical, right? So when we look at a general triathlon race, and the reason why I'm choosing tries is because it covers coverage for swimming, for biking, and for running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can take any one of those individual events, and that's how we would cover it. So if it is a looped swim where someone's starting and finishing at the same spot, we will have medical coverage at that swim start exit. If it's a point-to-point, we'll have coverage at each point. And then we also have assets on the water that we will make plans with them to, if someone needs to be rescued and brought to the medical, they can be brought straight to either one of the medical areas. In addition to that, we also will have paramedics stationed right next to us. So if someone needs to be transported, they can be transported right away in an emergency. So we're ready to stabilize them, to warm them up if they're hypothermic, or take care of any kind of kicks and scratches that they may have in the water. So sometimes you think, the swim, that's the easiest part. No, that's the scariest part. we were at one event, was it last 2 years ago? And we had a swimmer that was struggling in the water every 50 yards or so, was stopping and, you know, not quite comfortable. So our team knew right away, because of the way we were briefed, to keep an eye on her. And about halfway through the course, in the back end, she was alert. Someone alerted our team that she was just floating face down in the water. Wow. So good thing we had a plan in place. We got to her very quickly, pulled her out of the water, got on the boat, cracked open her wetsuit, started some CPR, and she did okay.
Wow.
We were able to get her to an ambulance, transport her, make sure she's checked out okay in the ER. But if we didn't have a plan in place that says, okay, once the swimmers hit the water, then what happens? Who's watching them? So we have lifeguards in the water. We have kayakers that have flag systems, so they will wave a flag or hold up a flag if there's an emergency. We have boat assets or jet skis that can get to them and bring them out. So medical coverage is beyond just having a medical tent.
Yeah, you make sure that you are communicating with those that are in charge of, like,
absolutely,
for the swim.
Yeah.
So, you are not in charge of the kayaks and that, but you are communicating directly with them a lot.
So back to Dave's opening point, communication is key. Yeah. So we actually sit in on these communication meetings, again, depending on the size of the race. Mm-hmm. But even to each race director, we're going to sit down with them and say, first, what is it that you need? And how do we provide that? And who is your team on the water? Who is your team on the bike course? So typically, that's what we'll do for a bike course coverage. I mean, for a swim coverage. And then on the bike course, depending on how long the course is, we try to position ourselves every 15 miles along the course or where there's an aid station along that course.
Yep.
Because if we just went by the mileage and there was no aid station there, then people needing to stop for medical in a separate location than for the actual aid, they're not going to stop that many times. But
right,
if we can
position
ourselves where the aid stations are, then we're more likely to help them right away. And then for a run course, it's usually every 2 miles or 1 to 2 miles or where the aid stations are there.
Yep.
So then it's important to know where we're located. And we try to be very consistent about that when we cover events. But then the next step is, well, what are they going to provide? Do they have the Vaseline? Are they going to pull me out of the race if I stop and ask a question?
Yeah.
So this is where we're now starting to get to the point where we are trying to publish the list of all of our supplies and what can we help you with if you stopped there at those aid stations. And we're working with the race directors to publish our emergency action plan, right? If we can publish that and make athletes more used to going there and reading that ahead of time, then they will know what to expect. Because we have it all written down. We just need to make the public more aware of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So in terms of what it is that we carry in our kits and how we've set it up, we'll talk a little bit more of that because I know I want to talk to you about your Vaseline. So let's grease up this conversation.
Yeah.
I was, I didn't care what it was at that point, but I was running a race and it was like the whole front of me, like whatever I was pacing and whatever pacer shirt they gave me, it was so abrasive. It was rubbing on my chest.
Did you try just taking your shirt off?
Well, he's pacing.
Well,
he's
pacing. I was running with a pacer shirt.
So do or die.
You're right.
Well, he made it. Yeah, yeah, he had red streaks.
Oh, man. I was like, the whole front of me was nothing. But, you know, and a little bit of blood goes a long way.
Especially when you step in the shower.
Yeah. We've seen all of that. And we've made some of those same mistakes as athletes ourselves. So I think this is why when we look at our kits, from what we started 25 years ago to what we're doing right now, we've evolved every single time based on the feedback we get from athletes.
Yeah.
So, for example, one of my volunteers was helping me pack up my kits recently. And they're like, why do you have tampons in here? I'm like, because at some point someone stopped and said, guys, that's a weird question, but do you guys have some tampons? You know, I just didn't plan, appropriately. I'm like, we actually do.
Yeah. Right?
Because if an athlete stops, we got to take care of that. And I was covering a soccer event the one time, and I realized that they get a ton of nosebleeds because they get hit. They're hitting the ball. They get bashed into. Well, I ran out of the nose tampons, which is these smaller plugs that you can use to stop a nosebleed. So then I made sure that if we covered soccer games, we had more of those things. So we actually have a supply closet that can replenish our supplies every time we cover an event. So when it comes to event coverage, we're not just there being physically present. We're starting from the communication. We're assessing the courses. We're making sure that we are located correctly. We're making sure people can find us. And then we make sure that when they find us, they know what it is that we can help them with.
Yep.
Yeah. So, say you're on course, for example, and this has happened to me a number of times, and a lot of athletes, where you're running through, you maybe get a hot spot on your Achilles or whatever, and you're like, oh, that's getting bad. And you could use, we have the lube available, but sometimes people think, oh, well, they're just going to have a Band-Aid and that's going to come off, you know, instantly. No, we've got, you know, Coban, we've got
specific to helping
athletic
that.
Tape. You know, we can manage that so that it stays on for the rest of the race so that that issue doesn't get worse.
Yeah, what we found, for example, on the bandaging side of it is quite often, you know, most people would use like some athletic tape to hold things in place. But with athletic tape, it sometimes it doesn't stretch as well so that it can create restrictions. And that can either drive you nuts to where you just want to rip it off. And when you try to rip off athletic tape, it actually gets tighter. Or you're just like, I'm not going to even stop there. So what we actually use is a ton of Coban, which is a more stretchy tape that sticks on itself so it doesn't just roll down. But we also make sure that when we put it on there, because it sticks on itself, we don't just leave it at that at the tail end of it. We'll actually put an extra piece of tape just to reinforce it to hold it down.
Yeah.
So the athletes, we have to be practical as well, right? We want to make sure if we're going to dress something or we're going to wrap something, it's going to stay on and they can continue to participate. So we do quite a bit of that kind of, you know, checking through our kits. We never used to carry that much Coban before, but we do now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Dave, why don't you talk a little bit more about our kits itself? Like, maybe through each layer, and I'll fill in any blanks that you have.
Right, yeah. So we have the three layers, the like top, middle, and lower bins. And particularly starting with the top bin, we have a lot of like the supplement type stuff, the smaller items that you can put, almost like the little nuts and bolts that you would have in a Husky toolkit, Husky toolkit. So we've got everything from electrolytes, which actually I should say have a good amount. They're good quality, high amount dosage electrolytes, because we were finding that like some of the electrolytes out there, they just have like 100 or 200 milligrams of this or that, and it's like, is that really worth it?
Yeah.
What on that point?
I was hoping you'd ask that question.
Yeah, what is the recommended electrolytes that you guys have? And is that can I go buy it? Like, what is? Yeah,
there is a generic recommendation, and then there's like the Terrence Rubin recommendation, and then there's the Todd Buckingham recommendation.
Right. Okay,
so let's start with Todd, because he's the science PhD guy.
Oh yeah,
and you can actually get a sweat composition analysis test done at PT Sports Pro when we open up. That will tell you exactly what your sodium consumption should be per hour, based on hot weather, cold weather, and distance.
And so, just for those listening, that is individualistic. That is everybody's different. You need to get yours measured. You can't use your buddies. They got it done.
Someone else does may not work for you.
Yeah.
So then there's the second bit of, okay, I get asked a lot of times, how much sodium should I be taking? So like, how much sodium do you guys take when you run? Do you take
any? No idea.
Yeah.
No clue.
If you had to take a guess, in terms of milligrams, so let's give you an idea. A bottle of Gatorade has 55 milligrams of sodium in it.
So you're saying in an hour, what should I take?
Yeah. What do you take?
I drink a couple cups of that in an hour.
Okay.
That's it.
So 150 milligrams? Maybe?
No, he's saying a couple of cups.
Not even a bottle. So
probably 25?
Yeah.
Well, I think it depends on like...
Not a lot.
So if I'm doing a 100 miler, or I would say any ultra... It's funny because it changes from marathon to ultra, but ultra distance, I would be trying to get 100 an hour.
Okay. So you're already aiming higher than what like you know Gatorade's going to provide, right?
Yeah.
I thought I was doing a much better job than you, because I was doing 340 milligrams an hour. And I'm like, I got this. But I was still having these cramps and stuff as I get through that mile 15 to 17 window. And I would be struggling towards the end of the race. Then Todd comes in with his science, does this analysis. Guess how much I need?
Twice that.
I wish. 1,250 milligrams an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm thinking there's no ways my belly could even handle that.
How do you even get that in?
Exactly. So what we've done is, what I've done is the sodium that we have in our medical kits is a product called S-Caps.
Oh, yeah.
S-CAPS has 340 milligrams per capsule.
Really?
So technically, if I needed 1250, I would need one every 15 minutes.
Wow.
Right? So depending on what other products I'm taking, I would factor that in and I would take that accordingly. So the more I've worked with sodium and electrolyte balance and athletes and hydration and nutrition and all the factors thrown in, the Rubin recommendation is we should all be taking at least around that, you know, for your average build athlete, we should be taking at least about 700 milligrams an hour.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Which so is a lot even, more than 100.
How do you even get that in? Like that,
a lot of the products that are out now, and there's a few of them that are coming in higher doses. Right. Like we're talking 1,500 milligrams in one capsule.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So that's good because you figure how often, like if it's every 2 miles, like if you're a 10-minute mile, or every 20 minutes, you're going through an aid station, right? So you would, you know.
So let me just add that we are not providing all of you guys sodium throughout your race.
Right.
You carry your own CYO. But if you are having an emergency, we have some supplements that you can take that can give you that quick boost.
I think that's a good clarification because you need to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
And it's not, you know, like the medical is there as assistance, but if you're doing a race, you got to take care of yourself. You got to know what you need. But stuff happens.
Even to the point of like aid stations. Aid stations are there just to help. They are not, I mean, yeah, granted, you can get through a race with just an aid station. I get that. But if you want your best day, plan it out your best for yourself. Like if you know you need 1,000 milligrams an hour compared to Joe Blow that needs 500, you need to carry more. You need to, because the aid station is not going to have that. That shot of Gatorade and water isn't going to provide you what you need.
Right.
No.
No, I'll tell you for sure, based on the sweat testing, I'll take 1,500 milligrams before I've even started the race.
Right.
Like an hour before the race. Mm-hmm. That's my starting point so that I'm preloaded. And then throughout the race, depending on the distance and the conditions, that's when you're going to factor in more or less.
Taking it a different direction, how about training though? Because I could see, like, if you're doing a long run, Do you use it?
Do that for your training?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. Yep, totally. Surrounding the run, absolutely, either before or after. You know, I know how my body feels when I'm low.
True, that's a good point.
And to the athletes listening, absolutely train with the product. Don't just experience it for the first time on race day.
Yeah. As
anything else that we've learned about equipment and our training, you know, the product you take matters.
Yeah, we have Tylenol, we have ibuprofen in our kits. But you don't want to necessarily not train or not have ever taken anything like that in your training and then say, oh, I need some Tylenol when you're out on the course because of what this or that, you know, that could have some detrimental effects too.
So even with Tylenol and Advil, if you stop and say, oh, I need some Tylenol, you're not going to just get Tylenol because you requested it. We're going to evaluate. So we're going to go, okay, well, why do you need Tylenol? Oh, well, you know, I hurt my knee a couple of weeks ago and I've been taking Tylenol to help manage it. But I forgot to take it this morning. Guess what? We'll give you some Tylenol then. Ew, if you come to us and say, you know, I thought maybe I'll feel better because I'm getting a little tired right now. My whole body's sore. I'm like, well, that's a byproduct of just running a marathon.
Yeah, you know?
So
right.
You're going to be sore. We're not rescuing you from that.
Yeah. What is ibuprofen?
It's an anti-inflammatory.
Is that Tylenol?
Yeah, Advil.
Advil.
Yeah. So Tylenol is acetaminophen.
I know that you're already beyond my knowledge of all this stuff. Yeah. So just that's why I asked this. And I bring that up because I remember when I was doing my hundreds, the five in one summer, that guy I was running with, he would take ibuprofen with S-CAPS. Well, they were the hammer version, I think. Or maybe we were doing S-CAPS at that time. But anyway, he had recommended like, pop a couple of ibuprofen or something every hour or something like that. Or maybe it wasn't every hour. But anyway, at some point, and I remember to the practice your race day during your training, I started doing that because you're running 100 miles, things are going to get sore.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I did that. And man, my stomach couldn't handle it. Like, whatever it is, I was mixing leading up that, man, I from 30 miles to 50 miles, I could guarantee I was a wreck because of my stomach.
Right. And this is the thing. If someone has an acute injury on the course and they're like, oh, I need some Advil, they're not getting Advil from us because you want to have an inflammatory reaction to occur. If you take Advil too soon when you injure yourself, so usually there's a 48 to 72 hour window where you should not take Advil. You should not take an anti-inflammatory.
Okay.
You want to manage your pain with maybe some Tylenol.
Gotcha.
But not the Advil. So if we had someone that has a chronic issue, again, they forgot to take the Advil, then we have that for you. But we're not just out there dispensing medication to people. So our point again, hear us loud and clear, is we're there to help you in an emergency. And even in that emergency, we would do a proper clinical evaluation before we determine what it is that you're going to get from us.
So that was my problem. My chronic issue was I was running 100 miles. So I was taking ibuprofen.
I thought the running itself was the chronic issue.
The running itself, yeah. It was like a miracle worker. Until I got done, and then I puked it all back up. Yeah. So, you know, there's always that part.
Yeah. No, it's like we got to be very careful with the medications we take. And the other thing that's important is dosage, right? And so some of our clinical volunteers may not understand the levels to which Dave and I, that have done this for years, have figured out how dosage matters. So on our medical supplies, we will actually write on there, like, you know, Tylenol, 325 milligram pills, give one capsule or, you know, whatever. So on the bag, it gives you the instruction. So anyone that opens that kit will be able to understand right away, how can I, after doing the clinical assessment, what did I give? What do I give them? So with the S caps, it'll say there, you know, sodium, 340 milligrams, give 1 to 2 capsules, depending again on where they're at in the race. So we try to be very clear, very consistent. And so from a medical supply standpoint, we have just about everything in that kit to keep you comfortable in an emergency situation until we can get more help or you can continue racing.
Question on the S-caps versus just straight up salt and how it enters the system. When I was in the Marine Corps, we used to carry around, so this is going back before S-caps, I mean, 92 to 96. We used to, when we would go on hikes, because we were all young and didn't know any better. Well, I don't even know who prescribed this, but anyway, we would take, like the, salt, like little packets you get from, McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And we would literally, if anybody got a cramp, we would just open one up and just down it. Can you speak to just like, was that even doing anything?
Yes. The short answer is yes.
The question is, how quickly does an S-cap help me versus like, and I'm not saying people should try the salt thing. I'm just saying, how quickly am I going to feel that?
So the just to back up, the biggest difference you're going to find between your salt packets and your S-caps is S-caps also has added electrolytes like magnesium and potassium versus just sodium chloride.
Yep.
And so having those added electrolytes is going to really help balance your system because your system doesn't just need the salt. So if you put in too much salt, your body's going to figure out, as you put in too much of anything, it's going to have to figure out how to get rid of it. And now you're overworking your kidneys or your liver or your bladder. So the right amounts do matter.
Yeah.
With the packet situation, there are people that do that. Even still, as long as you understand how much sodium is in this packet. So for example, on, I believe it's either 6 ounces of, I think it's around 6 ounces of pickle juice. There's 1600 milligrams of sodium in that.
Hmm.
So if you like pickle juice and you're doing a shot of that, you're getting your sodium. So you don't want to take that and take four capsules.
Wash this down with pickle juice.
But that does. It's like
then you get really salty at that point.
your body's going to swell.
Exactly. And then you're like, oh, my body's swelling. I should take some Advil.
Oh,
like
my goodness.
But my stomach, I thought maybe some Tylenol to help the stomach pain. So,
and then your liver goes.
Yeah. So we make sure, again, that we're not just providing, you know, willy-nilly. Yeah. We're very clinical about what we do. And then we have the things that'll help you in a risky situation. But how cool would it be if you knew ahead of time that that's what they had?
Yeah.
So if you were having an emergency situation, you're like, oh, at least I can get some help there. And that's the thing that we're trying to change in challenging the status quo of how medical coverage is done. We got to be more consistent. We got to have our product and understand how to use them.
Yeah, athletes need to hear that, oh, PT Sports Bro is there. Oh,
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
When I get to an aid station, if I need something, this I'm ready for it.
Right. And no matter what race, if we're covering it, we will have it.
What I hear, though, too, is the other side of it, too, is there's that, but then get tested.
Yeah, so from that, a sodium standpoint.
And prepare.
Yeah, you don't want
to not just in general. Get the sodium test.
Get tested. So, you know, we need to do an episode where Lewis and I get tested.
We can read the results.
We will go live at, we will try to do either a live or early recording.
Yeah, it's a 5-minute test.
From the practice, absolutely.
Yeah. Really? And how quickly do you get the result?
Right away.
Really?
Yeah. We got you covered, don't you worry.
Well, let's do it.
Yeah. So just to make sure that we finish up on the kit on the top level, we also have things like lube. So the Vaseline, the reason why we we scoff at Vaseline it does help, but it does break down. The petroleum jelly does break down, so it doesn't provide you the consistent lube that you need. So we actually buy a higher density product that doesn't just like wash away with sweat or just gets absorbed by your body, and that's where it matters. So we use like Body Glide a lot on ourselves individually, and you can have little packets or sachets of it, what's it called? The bees, stuff.
Burt's Bees?
Yes.
It's Sport Wax.
Sport Wax. Yeah. So you have,
it's made of beeswax, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those things can stay in your body a little bit better. So we actually will have smaller sachets of those things that you can just take and apply on your body, and it's going to last longer. But definitely recommend lubing up before. One of my favorite products from a lube standpoint, though, was a product called Pure. P-J-U-R.
It is amazing.
It is. And they since COVID, they're not importing it anymore. It's a product from Germany.
Oh.
P-J-U-R. But please Google P-J-U-R athlete, because P-J-U-R actually makes sex lubes. And so if you just go to PJUR, you're going to find lube.
We can't guarantee how well those will work in your race.
What I would say is that if they can clear lubes for all of those things, they can certainly nail a lube for an athlete. And what I like about it is that it pours out like a liquid versus being like Body Glide is more like a chalky or it's a thick substance that doesn't really get everywhere.
It's pasty.
Yeah, that's the word.
For me, I've been actually using squirrel nut butter. I don't know if anybody's used that, but that works really good too for me.
Yeah, I think that's one that like...
And it tastes good?
Before or after use?
I haven't tried it yet.
Okay. You said squirrel nut butter, and I got stuck on the nut butter.
Well, that's what I mean. Before or
it's
after.
A good play. It's a good play on words.
But you want to get a lube though that doesn't just absorb or wash out.
Mm-hmm.
We do have the petroleum jellies and stuff that we would have just if someone just needs something for other things. But for what you were dealing with,
the only reason I brought it up is I know most people, most races I've been to will have like the stick with the
petroleum jelly.
With the petroleum jelly, and they just, you know, and it was way too late at that point because I was a mess.
Yeah, no, what we'll do when we see you come by, we'll have a stick of Biofreeze for you, so... Rub that all over your cuts and bruises.
That's just mean.
So we make sure we have all of those things covered well, and then in our second tier we will have our AED, all the rescue things. So our AEDs, EpiPens, we have rescue inhalers. Mm-hmm. We can actually reuse inhalers using these special chambers.
I was just going to
say one use spacer. So we'll have at least 3 or 4 spaces in there because we don't really have a ton of people requesting it. But if you need it, we have them. And so that's usually in our second kit. We'll have a blood pressure cuff, a stethoscope there. And then the third kit, or the third layer of the kit, will have all the bigger products like our taping supplies, our band-aids, our
Cobans,
the sterile solutions, the wraps, anything that would need. We even have a little box for like needles, because we may have someone who's diabetic along the way that carried some product with them and they're like, you know what, I need to get rid of the syringe. Well, we have a needle box for that.
Oh.
So again, if you look through each tier, and we'll publish that information as well on our website. It's a very thoroughly thought about kit. It's not just a first aid kit. It's like first aid, but next level. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Rowdy.
I don't think so.
Sorry. The dog decided to join us, and I'm always just a little bit cautious of what he's doing. So I had to interrupt us there. But
okay. If you're a woof, it may be Dave. Yeah,
not today.
Rowdy. So. Rowdy. Hang on 1 second. Ready?
I'll edit this out. But I don't like
I think you should leave it in. This sounds like a good segue to our next topic.
He just wants to say hi.
That's what it comes down to. So is he the like the original Snoop Dogg then, or maybe is that how it started?
Might have, yeah. And we're back.
What if he peed on his friend's stuff?
Oh like, my goodness,
he must be Snoop Dogg.
Sorry.
Anyway,
where were we?
So we're talking about the medical kits.
Yes.
And so our medical kits are very strategically put together, and supplies are consistent across all of our kits. The idea is that no kit should be different. We used to have a different kit for like the main medical and a different kit for the out. And we're like, you know, let's keep them all consistent and then just have extra supplies for main medical if we needed those. So, you know, to the persons or the athletes listening to us, we don't only take care of the athletes. We have to take care of volunteers as well, you know, along the way, staff coming in.
True.
So the next level of what we do is every aid station where we talked about the swim, the bike, and the run, and we have a med station somewhere there, is usually identified by a 10x10 tent. And so in PT Sports Pro world, pink is our color, not just any pink. We have brilliant pink. So our tents have this really bright pink that you can see from a mile away.
Yeah.
And when you get to that tent, you will see a table. You'll see two tables, a table that has all of our supplies in it, another table that you can lay on and we can work on you. We have all the sanitizing materials and gloves and things that we clean that table between every single athlete. So that way we're not, you know, transmitting any diseases that you guys may be carrying. But we also make sure that those kits are consistent even from that level. And we end up buying our own little 4 foot tables so we can put our supplies on. Because every time we would request a table when we'd go to cover an event,
right.
A table may or may not be there. And so we want to make sure that when we get there, we take our kits and we put the three boxes next to each other. We've gone through it. Yep, quick check. Everything is here. We even have in each box, we'll have a little laminated flyer in there that tells you exactly what's in the box. And it says, what's in the box. So again, that level of organization when it comes to medical coverage and medical kits is super important.
I had an idea.
Oh boy.
I want a sandwich. Like what if I, you know, that's
you need a fork. Like
the pump station's right there.
You need a sandwich.
Like, Terrence, I need a sandwich. You
so
got a
Dave
sandwich.
And I need to stand on each side of you and squeeze what you need.
Maybe.
A Mitch sandwich.
Not quite a Reuben.
Yeah.
A little off.
Yeah.
So we have rye. Oh, wait.
Yeah. So the good news is that we are, like I said earlier, located next to the aid station. So they will have a sandwich if you need it.
Right. Or pie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that it's funny too with the table specifically. I even did a race in 2022, a local race, very large race. And they specifically, it wasn't one of our races, they specifically had everything laid out on the treatment cot. And I was having like a glute issue, a low back issue. And I needed, and I specifically requested that somebody work on me. And they like had me bending over the table while they were trying to work on my glute, and it certainly wouldn't have looked good from the road.
That's the thing. I mean, like again, someone said you got to have a tent, you got to have a table, like check, and you got to have medical supplies, check. But no one said, hey, don't put your medical supplies on the treatment
table. You need to use.
And we're going, let's dumb proof this situation with us. So we actually have really nice tables that we own that we would put out there so our medical kits can be placed on that and the athlete then has a place to lay down on.
That's good.
So the training is important as well as we get into medical coverage. And so one of the other things you will see with PT Sports Pro is that all of our individuals that cover our events have been trained to understand what's in the kit. We've created little videos so that especially when we have the bigger events where we have, you know, 30 to 40 people covering it, we got to make sure we're all on the same page. And then we have really strict protocols about, you know, not just what's in there and how to set up everything, but where to set up things and how to be visible. Yeah.
And communication then from our staff and to the athlete's perspective, If we see an athlete that is coming along that's in rough shape but may not need medical help, contacting or communicating with, say, the next station to say, you know, the bib number whatever is not looking so great so that we can try to follow up
so
on
we do looped communication.
Any issue.
Really?
So that looped communication means that there's a leader at every medical station that has a radio to central command. So we can do things like, hey, bib 312 just passed aid station 2. They're heading towards aid station 3. They're walking right now, but this and this and this, look out for it. And then that's how our team follows that. And so, you know, we capture anyone that stops at the tent. We capture any information on a sheet that we can then, you know, look at what did we do? How many individuals did we help? And also anything critical. Was someone transported? Were they transported back to the main medical? Were they transported to the ER? And we can take care of all of those levels of communication. And then we can communicate with each other along that as well. And then there is a central command, usually where the race director is in on what's going on the course as well. So if any calls need to be made, we can coordinate all of that. So medical coverage is beyond just being at one place with a first aid kit. It has to be very real, very robust, very practical. And each time if we see something can be done better, we're going to do our darndest to do it better. So we learned a few things along the way. For example, we try to make sure that most of our races, almost all of our races, have at least two people covering. So if it's just one person covering, there's usually someone else that may be doing another role, but they're there as standby. Because we had someone go down in one of our races where we needed to use an AED on them, and there was no backup help to provide some assistance along the way. And that can be dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, we've had cases where, you know, people have, you know, crashed and injured themselves really bad, but they didn't realize they were injured because they decided they were just going to get out on their bikes and ride again. I remember working at the race where I'm standing in transition, which is like the easy gig, and this guy comes in and I'm looking at him pushing his bike into transition, and his collarbone is like at an angle up here, and he's got a little bit of bruising or road rash going on. I'm like, dude, are you doing okay? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm just going to rack my bike and then start my run. I'm like, what happened? He goes, I fell off my bike in that last turn, but I'm good. I'm like, you're not good.
I don't think you are.
Yeah. let's get you to the medical tent. And we did. And, you know, we ended up having to transport him because his collarbone was broken.
You're not supposed to be able to itch your ear with your collarbone.
So even when an athlete doesn't come to us, we're eyes always open trying to figure out, you know, what can we see? Can we help them? I remember one of our local super athletes that actually won a race, and she was in transition at the end of the race, and I'm looking at her leg right below her lower knee. She had fallen at some point, and there was literally a chunk of flesh missing from her leg, and you could see the bone.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, when did this happen? And she's like, oh, and she ended up running a half marathon, and she was in a triathlon, and she injured it on the bike, I believe, or maybe early in the run, ran the half marathon, won the race. And she was standing with bare bones, literally.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, we couldn't even stitch her up. We had to, like, send her to the ER to get that cleaned out, irrigated properly. So these are kind of things where, you have an opportunity to know what we're providing, what we're doing, and come and seek us out. But we're also eyes on you. So that's why my comment about we don't just stand around and look pretty. We're actively working the entire time that we're there. And our knowledge that we have may take us seconds to tell you the solution. But it's taken us years to develop that level of expertise to make it look simple and seamless to the athletes.
Yeah. Well, this has been very informative.
Yeah.
Wow. Questions? Comments? You guys dumbfounded? Dumbstruck?
what I'm hearing, what I'm really impressed by is just, I'm trying to come up with something. No, I'm kidding. I'm really impressed by...
Oh, good one.
I am super impressed by just...
accent.
The accent's amazing. The amount of experience...
Overrated.
The amount of experience that you've brought, not just from we have all the experience, but turned it into tangible things that you're using to help make not just the race better, but the athlete's experience so much better. Mm-hmm. And I hope that those that are hearing this, when you do go to a race and they're like, oh yeah, PT Sports Pro is here, that you, it actually calms you a little bit to go, hey, you know what? All right. I can relax, go run this race. And I know that if I did happen to forget the sodium I need or whatever, the S-caps I need or whatever, you're not using it as an aid station. I want to make that clear, but you're taken care of. Yeah. If something does happen that you're going to be taken care of, you're not just going to get yanked out of the race or anything like that. You're going to be able to go into a medical tent confidently knowing I just need to get this question answered. Yeah. And know if it is something bigger, that the questions you're asking are for my health, right, not just to protect the race.
Exactly.
This is to protect the athlete.
Yeah.
And make their experience really well and help. Here's your Tylenol on your way. Go finish your race and have a good race.
And we have never turned, even if someone, you know, intentionally forgot something, we've never turned them away. I'm like, that's on you. We're still going to help you guys. We're just saying that please don't overload us.
Yeah.
By consistently forgetting.
Yeah. Totally.
Because we will, you know, we do want to take care of the athletes that need the more emergent care. Now, the other things that I just want to quickly touch on is, in addition to all this like emergency medicine and taking care of the more obvious things, sometimes you may just be having some tightness, some cramping, some bruising or something that you just needed massage or stretch. We will do that too. So we'll take, sometimes all it takes is a couple of minutes. You know, we'll get some gloves on, put some Biofreeze in it, stretch out the muscle really quick. And, you know, maybe give you something to drink, maybe some Gatorade, some water, just to get you on your way. And you can do that from station to station. Just like, oh man, this is really bugging me. Go run to the next station, run to the next station. And that's why we need to be there along the course. And we are, you know, quite happy to do that, because if we're there, why not work?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. If we can set the bar, really, then, I mean, you have what has happened in a lot of races. Like, historically, you register for a race and you get a shirt, you know, so athletes start expecting shirts at every race that they register for. And then it's tech shirts. And then you expect that. If you go to a race and you recognize a medical tent being set up and having X number of equipment, then you're just ready for
Thought out. Everything's so well thought out, too. It's not just, yep, you need A, B, and C.
Right.
Well, no, how can we best utilize A, B, and C to, and that's what you guys have done.
Right.
And I think that is a good point to say, this is the bar now. Let's get every other company or medical company that is supporting races in this way to come up to that bar to make that experience across the board, every race you go to.
Or races understand that they need a better level of medical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're also happy to work as consultants for groups that may be like, you know, far away from West Michigan, where we can't physically do that, but they have a medical team. We're happy to get on the phone with them and talk to them. This is no secret sauce. I mean, the fact that we're talking about these details on the podcast and we're willing to publish it tells us we're not concerned about competition. Mm-hmm. We just want the athletes taken care of well.
Yeah. You know,
because mediocrity, again, is not our thing, right? We've got to set the bar high so that others can rise with us.
Well, one of our listening areas that's a bigger area is like, I think, Germany. So who knows? Maybe somebody listening in Germany will reach out and say, hey, how do we do this better?
We will trade consulting for PJUR.
PJUR. Oh, that's true. That's where it's from. That's right.
Yeah, send us more stock.
We need
Please,
more.
Please, I need more.
PJUR.
Athlete.
Athlete. Don't forget the athlete part.
.com.
Terrence needs more lube.
I love that.
That's my socks.
Well, the thing is that
I'll lube my feet up with that, and it's my socks.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
When you apply it, though, it actually creates a very thin layer of like a latex layer on your skin, and it totally eliminates the chafing.
Huh.
It's crazy how, I mean, it's science, man.
It's a wonderful product.
Yeah.
Cool.
So on that, hopefully this was a helpful conversation about, you know, races and coverage and why. And if you don't have the coverage, why you should seek out these kind of things as a race director and as an athlete. At the end of the day, we want everyone to have a safe race, right? We want them to leave there as excited as they did coming in. And if they're ill-prepared for whatever, that shouldn't mean that we as medical staff are ill-prepared. We should be overly prepared to handle those that are not.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for sharing. Any final comments as we get ready to close this out?
I don't think I have any.
Well, no. I always have a final comment. Yeah. But no, it's always exciting having these kind of discussions.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you started off not knowing what you don't know, now you know.
Now you know. Well, this is the third episode of several more of these to come. So be sure to check us out on Facebook. Be sure to check us out on YouTube. Go to ptsportspro.com. Check out their new website that just got launched
last week.
And which will actually be 2 weeks. Yeah, as you hear this. But and send comments to info@ptsportspro.com. Yep. And Terrence or Dave or somebody from that organization will reach out and try to answer and facilitate any of your questions. Or you can reach out to Mitch and I at idontknowrunning@gmail.com. Or you can comment on the YouTube post of this video or the Facebook post for this. But yeah, that is going to wrap up this week's episode of the I Don't Know Running podcast, brought to you by PT Sports Pro.
Yes, and until then, we'll see you in March.